It is 4:43 on Downtown. Time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan in the house with us this afternoon. Hello, sir.
Hi. How's everybody doing?
Outstanding. How's your Tuesday? How's your first day of spring?
It's fantastic. By the way, Bill Green kills puppies. And it's going to be really warm soon. I know it's going to be really warm, and the first indication of that was the fact that Bill Green kills puppies, and but the Nor'easter is heading out to sea, and that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's not true, by the way. The Nor'easter is not heading out to sea. It's going to give us a little stuff, but also puppies. Those poor puppies.
Now, we have subliminal advertising in Downtown Madness?
Was that was pretty liminal.
Yeah, right.
I don't do subliminal well like I don't do discreet well. Hi, everybody. Eric Meehan, I'm running for your winner of the main bracket. I don't stand a chance once we actually reach like real, like there's, you know.
Well,
Bill Green is a real celebrity. I'm nothing. I'm less than nothing. I'm sorry, Bill.
You got people.
I got people. As I said, my hope is that a couple of my parents live down in Kennebunk, and you know they have a lot of friends who are of similar ages and mindsets, and they all actually watch Bill, and when I'm down, you know, visiting them, they're watching Bill, and you know, Dad's like, oh, what, you know, all this. So I need one or two of them to vote for me. That'll be the moral victory, and then everybody else can, you know, vote for the King of Maine. And no, I'm not going to destroy Maine. I wouldn't destroy Maine. I need Maine.
No one's happy with their seed. I mean, all these people.
No, I'm happy.
Dan Cashman.
I'm just scared.
Cashman tweets out, "No, I don't stand a chance against Don Shields. Even I'm voting for him."
Right.
Pat Callahan tweets out, "You monster, pitting me against Jess Gagne, I'm doomed." After she said he was going to win. Mike Lowe, "We're all doomed against Jess."
There's a lot of mutual love.
Yeah.
And yeah,
that's what it is.
Which is good. Because once we get to the national brackets and everything, we don't know these people. We're never going to see these people.
Right.
So we're just going to let it fly.
And you just soon put Cranston in a headlock, for crying out loud.
I have. I didn't know it was him at the time. It was so awkward. That's a story for another day. Story for today, though, is that after we talk about wine, I'm going to go home and make poutine. I never actually thought like you'd make poutine at home, but I have this thing like where I get up in the morning and all of my friends on Facebook, thank goodness, instead of posting like controversial stuff, they just post food. And, I mean, you know, well, that's Kraft Singles. But it still looks good. So the first thing I saw today was poutine. And I'm like, you know what? Poutine in my life tonight. So I'm making it happen.
Wow. Now, will the kids eat poutine?
Well, they'll eat the French fries. They don't. My kids don't like sauce. And sauce generic overriding term for anything that is a condiment or anything that, what's it called? Make things taste good. Honestly, they'll eat, you know, and I feel like my parents can correct me next time I see them, but I feel like I did the same thing when I was a kid. Like I ate things dry. And then, you know, a cereal to this day, I'll eat cereal dry.
You know, my little guy, Graham, loves, he doesn't eat a whole lot.
Yeah.
He loves milk. He loves cereal, but not together.
Not together, yeah.
And I said to him, "Graham, have you ever thought of maybe putting that milk in this cereal in the milk? You love milk. You love cereal. They're pretty awesome together." And he looked at me like it was the strangest idea. And he said, "I tried it once. I did not like it."
Yes, well, kid logic. I feel much the same way about many things in my life. It's just... Jägermeister, for instance. I finally, when I was in college and half inebriated the next morning, I finally started to get the whole like Lucky Charms and milk sort of thing. I was like, okay, I'm there now. Speaking of what got me half inebriated or fully inebriated in college, let's talk about wine and boxed, actually.
A box of wine.
I have a funny story. So as soon as I came in the studio today and they saw I was, you know, carrying the box of wine, we started making the obvious jokes. And of course, we're here today to, you know, get rid of all the stigma about boxed wine. But before we do, I'll mention that good boxed wine has not existed for a very long time. And so I distinctly remember one of the first times, I was in a college a cappella group. And if anybody out there has been in a college a cappella group, you understand that it's far less about music than about debauchery. And so the first rehearsal I ever had, one of the seniors came in, threw, the box was nowhere to be found. He just threw the bag that was in the box on the table in front of me and said, "Finish that, Frosh, before we're done." So fortunately, there was most of it was gone, and it was, as I recall, Franzia White Zinfandel, which is perhaps explains why I will absolutely never have
the
White Zinfandel.
Champagne of cheap boxed wine.
Well, I went to a very classy college, so we only drank the finest in cheap boxed wines. But fortunately now, good lead-in, there are inexpensive boxed wines that are worth checking out, and we're going to talk about it today, and why they really should be catching on and will catch on as we go down this merry path of life. So why boxes, you know, like, and why not boxes? So we've talked about glasses and the origin of glass, and, you know, there was amphora, and then, you know, they developed very, very hot burning furnaces, which created thick glass, which meant bottles could be shipped around and used as sort of the method de choix of getting, you know, this glorious liquid from place to place to place. But that's not the best thing in the world when you consider that glass is very, very heavy. And because bottles are shaped like bottles are shaped, you're just not using the volume available to you in the boxes that they come in, right? I mean, all wine is shipped in these kind of, you know, rectangular boxes. Anybody who's ever moved apartments or whatever knows what a wine box looks like. Well, you open up that wine box and there's a lot of just air. So you're paying to ship air, you're paying to ship very, very heavy glass. And yet, of course, because of, you know, the box wines like Franzia and things like this, goodness knows it was hard enough to get Americans to drink wine with screw caps, right? So suggesting that they drink box wines, like, well, the only wine that comes in boxes is this stuff. And of course, you know, we've come to find out in the past couple of years that places like, you know, Franzia and these larger concerns not only are putting wine in there, but they're putting a lot of other preservatives and really nasty stuff, which is leading to all sorts of, you know, viral misinformation out there that all wine has, you know, arsenic in it and all these, you know, that's not true, but it is true with a lot of those nasty wines that used to, you know, be the only boxes out there and jugs and stuff like that. But these days we have some options because, of course, people have started to get their head around the fact that it's super inefficient to be shipping glass bottles all over the world. It's super inefficient to be shipping boxes that are, you know, full of air and heavy glass all over the world. So you're starting to see boxes of wine that are good wine. You see it a lot in Europe. You don't see it that much here, but it's starting to change. In fact, one of my favorite stories is that when I was over in the region of Beaujolais a couple of years back, I guess it was 2014, and I saw this 5-liter box of this guy's regular Beaujolais, you know, wonderful little tasty Beaujolais. We've had Beaujolais on air here, super friendly. And I said, "What is that?" And he's like, "Well, that's, you know, that's going out to, you know, Germany, Italy, you know, the European market." I was like, "Why is none of that going over to America?" He said, "Americans don't want that." And I'm like, "I'm an American. I want that. In, you know, why can't we have that? Why are we only relegated to Franzia and Botta box and things like that?" Although I admit Botta box wines are a little bit better than Franzia. You know, take that for what it is. But this is ridiculous. And so, you know, this all kind of goes back to the European tradition. Europeans didn't have this boxed stigma mindset. Why? Because most villages have wine co-ops. And for a long, long time, you know, people who didn't have their own wineries or didn't want to do it would just take their grapes to the local village co-op. You know, they'd make wine and you'd go back and get it, right? You'd either get credits or you'd get whatever, and you go back with your own jug or your own whatever. And this was a method in France. It's called en vrac, right? Buying in bulk. And of course, buying, you know, bulk liquid makes a lot of sense for other reasons. We've talked about large format bottles. Of course, we've sometimes talked about the olive oils and vinegars that we sell as well. These are all shipped in bulk because anything that's kind of volatile that can oxidize is best shipped in bulk. You know, if you have 5 liters of something and almost no oxygen, it's not going to oxidize. Whereas if you have a lot of oxygen to 750 milliliters, it's going to age, right? And that's the concept behind aging wine. So do boxed wines age? Well, not really. And this is why it's kind of cool, because boxed wines, you're not buying these to age. These are all, you know, how we talk about, you know, 97% of all wines are made to drink tonight. Well, all these boxed wines are meant to drink tonight, all right? These are not fine, grand, you know, Bordeaux, you know, first growths that are, you know, need 20 years to be. This is really, so the wine we're drinking today, by the way, this is a, you know, blend of half Pinot Noir and half Touriga Nacional. This is a Portuguese red, and it's absolutely delightful. It's just fresh. It's got some dark berry fruit to it. It's got some bright, lively berry fruit to it. Nice acidity. And it's in a 3-liter bag and box. And when that bag, I'm sorry, when the liquid is drained from it, the bag just closes in on itself. There's no oxygen whatsoever, which means it's not going to oxidize, it's not going to age, and you can keep the box around for a long time. In fact, I've had boxes where it's been months, literally, because we've done tests on these, because I was really curious when we first started seeing decent boxed wines, like, all right, is this legit? Is it going to go bad? And it doesn't. I mean, after, 10 years, it will. But again, drink it now. It's also, you're also paying far, far less. So this is 3 liters is 4 bottles worth, right? I mean, that's, 750 milliliter times 4. And you're usually, on average, paying about what you'd pay for 2.5 to 3 bottles. I mean, it's just sort of a no-brainer. The wine's not going to go bad. You're going to spend less. You know that you're doing a better thing for the environment because you're not spending as much for gas and transport for, to ship glass and air. It's really a fantastic phenomenon. And you're going to see more and more and more of it. So I encourage, we do have a little section, I call it my stigma buster section, where we have some canned wines and we have some of these boxed wines. And we'll be talking about canned and other odd formats next week. But
this is excellent.
It's great. I mean,
you would never know.
And a lot of these wineries, I mean, basically every one of them, ships out these wines in bottles as well. So, I mean, because they understand just as well as everybody else that there's people out there who need to see a bottle. They need to see a cork. They need to see something. And it's a good wine. It's a wine that if I were to sell this to you in a bottle, I would not be ashamed. Like, oh, this doesn't even deserve to be. It absolutely deserves to be in a bottle. It's just not. And so deserves to be in a bottle. But you know what I'm saying. It's all about perception. And if I can convince people that their perception of boxed wines was appropriate, but things are changing and it's absolutely fantastic. And I have some customers now, which is fantastic, that will only buy boxed wine. Like, they will come in and they grab their box of, we have another wine that we actually drank last year, Campo Nuevo, which is a beautiful Tempranillo from Spain. People will come in and we rip through it because it's a solid wine for under $20 for 4 bottles worth of a solid Tempranillo. I mean, how can you go wrong? So that is the deal on box wines. I have just a little bit of time left. I do want to mention we've done our tasting for this month, but we do have a very good tasting coming up next month. That'll be on the 19th, will be the third Thursday next month from 5 to 7 p.m. Of course, we've been getting a lot of calls about those, so I just want to remind people about our monthly tastings. They are free. They are no appointment necessary. You just come in anytime from 5 to 7 p.m. We'll have some wines, sometimes some food, some other interesting stuff. I just opened a really cool aged beer this past time, so you'll never really know, and we'll put on our newsletter and Facebook what the theme is going to be. Also, I want to remind everybody to vote for me, Eric Meehan, in the Downtown Madness brackets, because Phil Green's had his time. He's had his fame. It's my time now, and I can only get there with your help.
Vote early, vote often.
Vote early. And if I win, I want to mention that Bob Cutler has offered 50% off. No, that's not true. I can't back that up. If I win, Bob Cutler will be very, very happy
there
for me.
Go.
All right, folks. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you here next week.
Thanks, Eric. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor.